Welcome, everybody. You might notice that I am an adult, and you might be questioning why I belong on the podium during Youth Sunday, and you have every right to question that. My name is Brody. I help lead the Oak Youth Group along with my wife, Gwyneth. And we're really grateful for all of you joining us today. We're really grateful for just this chance to have a non-hostile takeover of from courtesy of Oak Youth. And so, just appreciate everyone and appreciate this opportunity. We're going to have a cycle of messages given by our students, and I'm going to do a brief introduction to them. But before we get into it, I want to make a couple quick announcements. One, first of all, is that these lovely youth, who you have already seen this morning, are headed to summer camp in July. And this is our first time as a youth group going to summer camp. It's not something we've done before. So this is a whole big experiment, and we're really excited about it. And to help fund the students' camp experiences, we have opportunities for you all to get involved if you haven't yet and if you are able and interested. So this board will be in the potluck room where we meet after service for our weekly potluck. And you can sponsor different parts of the classic Christian summer camp experience, such as, for example, you can pay to give a student an extra paintball. You can also pay to remove a paintball from a student.
And if you want, you can decide who they're shooting at.
Yeah, but
that's not on the board, but maybe we'll make it a thing.
Removing a paintball is a little bit more expensive because, that is a costlier thing to try to do. Let's see, what are some of your favorites, Gwen? There are a lot of things on here. You can
sponsor nutrients, AKA one vegetable per meal.
Again, that will be against the student's will,
no,
so it carries a premium.
Will come about.
Yep. So make sure to take a look at this when you have a chance during potluck, and if you haven't yet and are able and interested, you can sponsor different parts of the camp experience. And when you scan the QR code, it'll take you to the OakDurham/give page, and just make sure you select the Oak Youth Fund. There will be an option to select which fund your donation goes to, so just check Oak Youth, and we'll know what your donation is for. Also, Gwen is modeling some of the lovely merch, which there's at the oakdurham.org, you can navigate to our merch site. And currently, all the merch sales are going to support the offsetting costs of youth camp. So those are some announcements. Do you have anything else, Gwyneth? Okay, great. So every time we have Youth Sunday, and every time, by that I mean that this is our second one. So every time we have Youth Sunday, we like to try to choose a theme or a topic that both edifies the students as they're preparing to give messages and things, but also is something that is like uniquely suited for a student or a young person to be able to offer. And so today we have chosen the theme of hope. And we wanted hope to be held at the center of our reflections this morning because on the one hand, it's a foundational part of the life of faith in Christ that we wanted our students to explore by preparing these messages and, you know, finding scripture to go along with them and all of that. On the other hand, there's also in young people a unique capacity for hope that I think as the years go by, for those of us who have no longer in our teenage years, that capacity starts to slip away. I feel like, and maybe you relate, that each passing year represents the closing of more and more paths, right? Like as each year goes by, like I'm not gonna be an astronaut anymore. When I was a baby, maybe, right? Anything can happen. But as the years go by, more and more paths close, and I find myself struggling with hope and future and possibility. As we grow, our choices begin to limit themselves and our sense of the possible narrows. We may find ourselves oriented not in hope of a perfect future in Christ's kingdom, but in nostalgia for a past that was at least good enough, right? No past was the perfect fulfillment of God's kingdom, but maybe we long for a past that was better than what we experience now, or that was at least good enough. There's a theologian named Jürgen Moltmann that explains that if God created everything to be very good, then, quote, as long as everything is not very good, the difference between hope and reality remains. And faith remains irreconciled between, and must press towards the future in hope and in suffering. Thus, the promise of life through the resurrection of Christ also brings with us the tendency of the Spirit, who quickens in us suffering and whose goals is the praise of the new creation. There's a latent future orientation that's present in young people that we tend to lose as we grow. And I think that today we'll get to experience the offering of that from young people to us. As you all know, we recently lost Pope Francis, and hope was very much at the center of his ministry throughout his papacy. And he has this quote that I wanted to read as well. He says, "Hope is a gift and a task for every Christian. It's a gift because it is God who offers it to us. Hoping, in fact, is not a mere act of optimism, like when we sometimes hope to pass a test, or when we hope for good weather for the trip out of town in the springtime. No, hoping is waiting for something that has already been given to us, salvation in God's eternal and infinite love. That love, that salvation, that gives flavor to our lives and constitutes the hinge on which the world remains standing, despite all the wickedness and nefarious caused by our sins as human beings. To hope, then, is to welcome this gift that God offers every day. To hope is to savor the wonder of being loved, sought, desired by a God who has not shut himself away in his impenetrable heavens, but made himself flesh and blood, history and days, to share our lot." I think as the older that we get, the less our experiences, including suffering, draws us towards hope in the future, the more it draws us into our own past. We begin to long for a time when America was great, or when we hadn't yet seen the deepest flaws of our loved ones. The more and more that the years go by, the more we find ourselves looking back. But the kingdom of God isn't found back there. The kingdom of God is found in the future. And the gap between the life we find ourselves in and the perfection of the resurrection of life in Christ, that gap is called hope. So I'll be doing my best this morning to open my ears to the reflection of these young people as they help me get reoriented towards the future of Christ and his kingdom. And I invite you all to do the same, opening your ears. So at this time, I'm going to invite Garrett up as our first speaker.
Good morning. I'm going to start off by reading Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching for his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." What qualities do you think are reflected in these verses? I personally think that the writing is about hopefulness in God and patience in God. The writing talks about God uplifting the faint, which is a sign of hope through God. It also talks about waiting for God, particularly in verse 31. I believe a prime example of this is when the passage says, "But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Notice the writing uses words like "wait" and "upon," which are associated with patience, and words like "renew," which symbolizes hope. What do you think hope in God means? I believe that hope in God is the trust in God that good will come even in the darkest of times. Hope is knowing that God's power will bring light and that his power will uplift the oppressed and guide the lost. Another writing from Isaiah that I think shows the moral and message of hope is Isaiah 12, verse 2. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord is my strength in my song, and he has become my salvation. What do you think salvation means? Salvation is the act of being saved from sin or evil. The Lord is our salvation. I think there is a big correlation between salvation and hope. Hope is trust in salvation. Hope is trust in renewal and cleansing of evil. How do you think you can find hope? I think you can find and or strengthen your hopefulness by connecting with God. Being grateful and trustful of God could also bring hope. How do you think you can help others find hope? I think that making sure others know they're not alone and could bring someone hope. Also sharing to them God could also bring hope. To me, the overall message of the first writing, Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, is that God will do his work. He will raise up the oppressed and bring salvation. So as a person, your duty is to wait upon God and have hope and trust in him entirely. Wait patiently for the world's renewal.
I chose Psalm 31, 24. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. He shall strengthen your heart. This is a simple and short Bible verse, but it has a deeper meaning. In order to further understand this meaning, I'm going to go through this verse piece by piece and show a painting that comes to mind when I hear these different sections of the verse. The first part of the verse is be strong and take heart. This section highlights the call to stay steadfast in your faith, especially when facing challenges and adversity. It also calls us to trust in the comfort of God's presence and reminds us believers that they can trust him in their troubled times and daily struggles. This painting reminds me of that part of the verse. The sailor is alone in the middle of an ocean, which highlights loneliness in personal battles. But despite being alone, the sailor also does not give up and is clearly still determined to brave the storm, which shows our theme of God giving us strength to persevere when facing challenges. The next section of the verse is all you who hope in the Lord. This directs the message of the passage to those who place their trust and faith in God. There is hope for those who believe that the Lord is their source of strength and courage. Even in the worst, there can always be some hope because God will not leave you. He is a powerful God who has the capability to spark a glimmer of hope in what seems like the darkest of times. This painting reminds me of the part of the verse we just dissected. It also reminds me of the Carowinds walkway. You can barely see the end of the tunnel. All you know is that you see a light, and that might be your only way of getting out. You can't see what is at the end of the tunnel or exactly how far away it is, but you go for it. The light at the end of the tunnel is hope, and the tunnel is fear. The Lord leads you through and gives you strength to move forward. You need to trust in his way, even if it's not quite clear yet. The last piece of this verse is, he shall strengthen your heart. This is a promise that God will not only give physical strength, but also spiritual strength. If you follow God, believing in his power, placing your trust and faith in him, then he will provide you with internal and external strength. The figure in this painting, which is called Inner Strength, looks partially shrouded. The background is undefined and dreamlike. The painting has an even amount of dark and light. The light is not getting consumed by the darkness, which shows suffering and hope existing in the same place. This verse has a more profound meaning than what you read. There is such a deeper meaning than what you can realize in just the 12 words on the page. This verse can remind people that, as Franklin D. Roosevelt said, true courage is not in the absence of fear, but the ability to persevere despite fear, relying on God's strength and guidance. We are encouraged to trust in God's promises, even when we don't understand the circumstances.
Hi, I decided to use the verse Proverbs 4:11 through 12. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. I want to share something that's personal that's still fresh for me. A few weeks ago, I injured my hip. As someone who runs track, you probably know what that means. It hit hard. Running is more than a sport to me. It's where I feel free. It's how I compete and how I push myself and how I strive for a PR, aka a personal record for those who don't run. It's a big part of who I am. So when I got injured, it felt like something was taken from me. I didn't just miss a practice or two. I missed the chance to run in championships, something I had worked for all season. That was tough, to go through all that training, to show up every day to fight for a spot, and then when the biggest moment came, I couldn't even compete. I remember sitting in the stands, watching my teammates run the races I had trained for. I wanted to be happy for them, and I was, but if I'm honest, I was also hurting. I kept thinking, this was supposed to be me. There's something about watching your team compete without you that makes you feel alone, hopeless, like all your effort wasn't enough, like your team moved on without you. And then I came upon this verse from Proverbs. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. That hit me differently this time. Before, I had always focused on the running part, running and not stumbling, running strong, running fast. But this time, all I could focus on was the first line, when you walk, because that's all I could do. I couldn't run. I could barely walk in the beginning without pain. Yet here was God promising me, giving me hope that even when you're just walking, I still got you. That changed everything. Instead of spiraling into disappointment, I began asking God to help me walk this one out with hope, to not let my injury be the end of the story, to have hope in God that he would carry me through this. And slowly, I began to realize something. God didn't stop using me just because I wasn't on the track. Since I couldn't run, I decided I'd cheer harder than anyone else. I encouraged every teammate, gave them tips, helped them warm up, braided their hair, and stood at the finish line shouting their name. I became the kind of teammate I never had time to be before because I was always focused on my own race. And you know what? It felt good. It felt like God was showing me that my value wasn't just in my performance. It was in my presence, in my encouragement, in my heart. Hope doesn't always look like crossing the finish line with your hands raised. Sometimes hope looks like showing up when you'd rather hide. It looks like supporting others when you're the one hurting. It looks like trusting God with the path, even when your pace has slowed. I still believe I'll run again. I still have big goals for high school, but even if I'm walking for all, I know that God hasn't left me behind. He's still guiding me, still strengthening me, and he's using this season to deepen my character and expand my hope. So if you're in a season when it feels like everyone else is running ahead and you're stuck walking, don't lose heart. Have hope. God is with you even in the walk, and you will not stumble.
Morning, guys. I'm going to start us off today with a reading from Micah. But as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. Micah 7, verse 7. As I've grown up, the concept of hope has been rather broad to me. Picturing it, I would always imagine someone being brought out of a worldly trouble they were currently experiencing. When I said the word, it was always about wanting things, saying things like, I hope that I win my baseball game today, or I hope that we can get a dog today, not concerning my faith whatsoever. I was focusing on the first definition of hope, to wish for a particular event that one considers possible. However, I have realized that when applied to our spiritual lives, this hope in worldly things is not the same hope that the scriptures speak of, and that we must turn towards the worldly things toward the second definition of hope, to have confidence, trust. We must have confidence in our God to keep his promises of his undying love, forgiveness of sins, and a new perfect creation, not to help us with our lives here on earth. In fact, it is illogical to put all hope in this world. Countless times during youth retreats, visits from guests during youth groups, and other youth events, we have discussed that however unsettling it may be, the idea that good things only happen to good people is a myth. That no matter what, bad things will happen in our lives here on earth, and that we all know from reading the news and living our lives that this is the case. This year, countless times Countless things have occurred that have challenged my idea of what hope means. I have seen so much suffering around me. Family, friends experiencing the loss of their mother, my grandpa being diagnosed with cancer, and my 102-year-old grandma breaking her hip and having to go through a dangerous process of surgery, and thousands of refugees being denied their rights. Despite this, we can put our hope in a new perfect creation, an upside-down kingdom where, as the song says, the empty are filled, the wounded are healed, and the broken are put back together. A place where the poor are blessed and where the weary can rest. A place where the blind regain their sight, the imprisoned are set free, and those who doubt in this new creation will believe. This is a place where those who have been left out of society are now right in the thick of it. A place where all those without mother and father find loving homes. A place where people who have found themselves off the path are guided back to it, and those in grief find themselves in great joy. This is what we must place our hope in. We must put our hope in God's making of all things new, fulfilling his promises of this upside-down kingdom. This means that not only do we need to focus our hope off of worldly things, we must also look to the future as we focus on what is coming. The Greek word for hope used in the Bible also means to expect and to have confidence in, showing the correlation of these ideas. Hope being something that we must look to the future for, not linger in the present and hope for things to happen today, but look to God's plans for our and the world's future. Would you all pray with me? Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I pray that we will have a good rest of the service and that you will bless us as we go through it. Now I invite you for 90 seconds of silence to process the sermons.